I want you to turn with me, if you will, to John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. John chapter 16. I want to major on verses 23 and 24, but I also want to just lay out a little foundation here, what the Lord's talking to, why it makes it so important that we read this in context. Jesus has just been speaking to the disciples about his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, he didn't just come right out and say it, but he talks about he's going to be leaving. The world's going to rejoice and they're going to be sad. But then in verse 22, he said, "Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." In other words, he's saying, after I've done everything I need to do, you're going to rejoice. And I'm going to come to you, and your joy is going to be so full, and nobody's going to be able to take your joy because you're going to be living in a day that I have prepared for you. Amen? In other words, the Lord says, when I have finished my work, I'm going to bring you into a place where your life can be full of joy, and nobody or no thing will be able to take your joy, because you see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? And the Lord now becomes our joy, and our relationship with Him becomes our joy. In fact, you got to understand something. According to Galatians 5, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. In other words, it's a spiritual force that's operating in you. Joy isn't just happiness. Joy produces happiness, but happiness isn't necessarily joy. That's why in James chapter 1, James said, when you find yourself in a test or trial, count it all joy. Meaning what? You can stir up joy because it's a fruit. Amen. And you can grow fruit, so that means I can get more joy. Hallelujah. And I can make my joy strong. I can make it stronger, and I can walk in it. And notice the Lord said here in John 16, 22, and nobody's going to be able to take that joy from you. Why? Because your joy isn't in your circumstances. Your joy isn't in your situation. Your joy isn't in what's going on around you or what you have or don't have. Your joy is in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, you've got to understand this, folks. If you're looking for external, stimulus to have joy, you're going to walk around with a frown on your face and a sad song to sing. Amen. But you see, if you look on the inside and see that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and He is your Lord and you're a new creation in Him and old things have passed away and all things become new and you're living in the kingdom of God, all of a sudden, right in the midst of all that mess, you can find joy. Hallelujah. And that joy will cause you to be strong. In fact, there are times you have to count it all joy. What's that mean? You have to sit down and say, number one, I'm saved. Joy. Number two, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Joy. Number three, the Word works. Joy. And you just start counting reasons why you should have joy. Amen? And you get your eyes on the Lord. And so that sets up verses 23 and 24. And he says, and in that day. Well, what day is he talking about? He's talking about the day we're living in right now, the day of grace, the day of salvation, the day of redemption, the day of the kingdom of God here on the earth. And he says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. In other words, he's saying, in that day you're not going to run to me and say, Lord Jesus, would you do this? Or Lord Jesus, would you do that? Like they were doing then. Amen? And now somebody says, well, I wish I could go to Jesus and just ask him to do something for me. No, he said, in that day, you're not going to be coming to me and begging me or asking me or pleading with me to do this or do that or whatever. Somebody says, well, that's bad. Well, it is if you stop there. But let's don't stop in the middle of the verse. Let's keep reading. Amen. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. What's he saying? He's saying in that day you're not going to have to ask me to do everything for you. Amen. You're not going to have to ask me to drive off the devil. You're not going to have to ask me to do this. In fact, he said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. In that day, you're going to find that you now have access to the Father just like I have access to the Father. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. And then he says this. He says, up until now, you've not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know how to get full of joy? Get your prayer answered. Amen. How many of you found out it's more joyful when you get an answer to prayer than it is when you don't? Amen. So that means this. The Lord is showing me how to stay full of joy. He's showing me how to walk in victory. He just said in verse 22 that nobody has the authority to take your joy from you. Nobody has the authority over your life but God Himself. Amen. And Jesus is your Lord. And Jesus says in this day that we're living in, we need to take advantage of our relationship with Him and realize that His name gives us access into the very presence of God the Father. Amen. And the Father now hears my prayer just like He heard the Lord's prayer. Oh, you didn't hear me. Come on. That's almost too good to be true, isn't it? Praise God. It's so good it must be true. Hallelujah. You know what the Lord is saying to me? He's saying, in that day, I'm going to give you the right to use my name. And when you approach the Heavenly Father in my name, He's going to hear you just like He would hear me. And whatever you ask Him in my name, under my authority, going in my behalf, not yours, not trying to approach Him in your goodness or in your own holiness or your good works, but approaching Him through the authority that's in my name and coming in His presence in my name, then whatever you ask will be given to you that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Notice He said, whatever you ask. You notice what the Lord is saying here? He's saying, in the day we're living in right now, it is God's will that you have a very successful prayer life. Amen. And notice He didn't say that some things that you ask, you'll get, some things you won't. No, He said, whatever you shall ask for in my name, it'll be granted to you, that your joy may be full. That means this, what He's talking about, let's just break it down, look at it. He's saying this, He's saying every area of your life and every situation you're confronted with, you can take that situation to God and talk to Him about it and get answers from Him and see God turn it around for you. Amen? In other words, prayer is not just limited to some things. I can pray to God about salvation. I can call upon the name of the Lord, and I can pray and ask my Father for salvation, and through the name of the Lord Jesus, receive my salvation. I can ask the Father, fill me with the Holy Ghost. He'll fill me with the Holy Ghost. I can ask my Heavenly Father to move in my family, and He'll move in my family situation. I can ask my Heavenly Father to supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and He'll move in that situation. Why? Because I have access to the throne of grace, and Hebrews 4 says that we are to come boldly with confidence before that throne of grace and obtain His grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. Amen? Well, how am I going to do that? I'm going to pray and seek the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when I come up against something that's trying to steal my joy, instead of me sitting there wondering what I'm going to do about it, I'm going to pray about it. Oh, come on. You have to give me an amen or so every now and then. Amen? If you don't, I have to do it myself. Amen, Huffman, that's good preaching. Keep it up. Hallelujah, I will. Praise God. So what's He really trying to bring across? This is the same chapter where He said, you're going to have tests and trials in this world. You're going to have problems. That's how He finishes this chapter. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it for you. In other words, through my name, no matter who comes against you, what comes against you, what situation you're confronted with, don't run around wringing your hands, worrying about it, fretting about it. What am I going to do? He says, no, take that situation to your Heavenly Father, because my God is now your God and my Father is now your Father. And my name will get you into His presence. Amen. Listen to me, folks. You and I have great privilege with our Heavenly Father. We have great favor. Why? Because the Lord Jesus has granted to us the right to use His name. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's just like, you know, I've told the story a couple of times, you know, different varies of. But you know, when Jaden and Ava were smaller, you know, they'd just come right back and walk into my office and go to the candy drawer. Didn't matter who's in there. Why? If they came in there, they'd just say, "He's my papa." They'd use my name. Now, Ava, I don't know, I have to keep an eye on her. She may still be doing it. But she'd go out here to the bookstore and you know, and go over there where the candy's at and grab her a piece of candy. And one of her girlfriends one time said, Ava, how are you going to pay for that? She says, I'm going to tell them, it just Papa told me I could have it. Hallelujah. So she'd go over and say, "Pop, put it on Papa's bill." Hallelujah. And she'd walk off and get it. And you know what they did? They did it. And I wonder what was going on. She knew that through my name, she had some access. She had some favor. Amen. You and I should be as simple as a child and as wise as the Lord told us to be and understand, hey, I don't have to figure this out. I have great favor with the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus because Jesus is my Lord. He's given me access to everything the Father has. And no matter what I'm confronted with, I can pray to my God and my Father about it, and He'll work in that situation to help me. Amen. I can be powerful in prayer. I can be successful in prayer because God wants to meet my needs. Amen? Now, let's go over here to Philippians, and let's look in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, because in verses 6 and 7, specifically verse 6, the Apostle Paul shares with us three keys to getting results in our prayer. Anybody want to get some results in your prayer? I do. I want my prayers to get victory. Amen? I want to see things when I pray. I don't pray just to pray. Oh, you listen to me. Well, when you was praying, what you was believing God for? Joe, well, not anything in particular. Well, that's what you'll get. Not anything in particular. Amen. No, he says, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever things you're asking. In fact, in Mark 11:24, the Lord Jesus in the King James says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Amen? In other words, I'm bringing this situation to God in the name of the Lord Jesus because I'm expecting Him to do something for me and help me out of this thing. Amen? I'm looking for results in my prayer life. Now, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says this, be anxious for nothing. I think we turn that around sometimes and say, be anxious in everything. Amen. Be worried about everything. No, he says, be not anxious for anything, but in everything. Everybody say, in everything. Kind of goes right along with what the Lord said in John 16, doesn't it? He said, whatever you ask for. And so here he's saying, in everything, in every situation, no matter what it is. You got to understand something, folks. God cares for you for the great things, but He also cares for you about the little things. Amen. I mean, you know, I've had God do just little things for me that would maybe be insignificant for somebody else, but they just blessed me to the point I just want to shout all over the house because it was just some little thing that I realized my Heavenly Father loves me so much that He even wanted to bless me in that. And take care of me in that, which everybody else might think was insignificant, but to me, it was something special. Hallelujah. And so the Lord says here through Paul says to the Philippians, he says, be not anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying this, if you find yourself in a situation, And you don't have any peace. You don't have any joy. He says, what you have to do is this. You have to learn how to pray to God until His peace and His joy takes over from the anxiety, worry, and fear that's trying to dominate you. Amen? So if I'm praying and I'm walking with God, instead of walking around here worried, fretting, and wondering what I'm going to do, I should have God's peace guarding my heart and guarding my mind, and I should be walking in peace instead of turmoil. Amen? Come on. Now, there are three keys to making this thing happen. Look in verse 6 in the Amplified. Here, he brings it out a little bit better, and he says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. That's pretty good, isn't it? Don't fret. Don't be worried. Don't have any anxiety. Don't be anxious. Overwrought. Look what he says about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition. Now, listen to what he says. Definite requests. Notice that? Just don't go to God in generalities. Go to God and be specific when you're talking to Him. Amen? And notice what he says, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm going to take everything to God because whatever I ask for, whatever situation I'm in, if I'll go to God and look to Him and pray to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus and believe I receive something from Him, God will move in my behalf. Amen. You've got to believe that. See, a lot of people, the reason your prayers don't work is you don't believe just what I said. It's sad, but I remember years ago, I mean, this is probably back in the early 90s, I was talking to a gentleman, and he was an older gentleman, a couple of years older than me now, praise God. But anyway, You know, he had a ministry, and we were talking, and I was talking about God had answered a prayer, and I heard God when I was praying, and God spoke this to me when I was praying. And he was from a particular denomination, and so he looked at me with a kind of a befuddled look on his face. And he said, you know, I heard you talking about God speaking to you in prayer, and you got an answer in prayer. He says, you know, I've been praying for over 40 years and living for God over 40 years, and I don't know that I've ever heard God speak to me. And I thought, that's so sad. That's so sad. Why are you praying? Now, here's the thing. After we got talking, I got to sharing with him how the Lord speaks and what he does. He goes, I've kind of experienced that. And I said, my goodness. Number one, he didn't know how God would answer him. And number two, he didn't expect God to answer him when he prayed. Amen. That's not what the Lord Jesus taught us. Jesus said, in this day, you're not to let anybody come in and steal your joy. You're not to let anybody come in and wreck your faith. You're not to let any situation or circumstance be so strong that it pulls you away. Because in this day, I'm giving you the privilege to use my name to go into the Holy of Holies and pray to the Father. And whatever situation you're confronted with, take that situation to him and pray and believe that he'll help you with that. And God will work in that situation and give you joy and victory right in the midst of the test. Amen? And listen to me, folks. That's not for the pastor, that's for every believer. Hallelujah. You don't have to be some superhero to get this thing done. You have to be a believer. In Mark 16, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. So what do you have to do? You have to believe this when you're here. You have to act upon this. And you have to accept this and embrace it yourself. Praise God. Now, there are three things that Paul says here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 that I want us to just touch on. The first one here, he says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. So the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to deal with your worries and your anxieties. Amen? An anxious, feared, fearful, desperate prayer does not get an answer from God. Notice before you even pray, the very first thing Paul says, before you ever ask God anything, the first thing you got to do is get rid of your worries and anxieties and wringing your hands and wondering what if anything's going to happen. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? Oh, God, help me. Oh, Jesus, you're not going to get anything done like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 100 says, come before his presence with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with singing. He didn't say come before God going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Somebody give me a pill or something. My heart's fluttering like a rabbit. Oh my God. No, he said the first thing you're going to have to do is you have to deal with worry. You have to deal with anxiety. You've got to make up your mind that you're not going to let your circumstance determine your attitude and your actions and what you think. Amen? You're just going to have to just make up your mind. I'm dealing with this right now. Father, before I ever even talk to you, I can't come into your presence like this. I have to deal with this. So the first thing you have to make up your mind is this. What am I going to do? Am I going to sit around here wringing my hands, worrying about this thing, or am I going to deal with that worry and then take my situation to God? Amen? And see, notice this is something that you have to do. Notice that Paul said, do not, you. We could put you in there and say, you do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Notice that? I have to deal with that. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 5. Actually, I'll read it to you out of the Amplified. In verses 6 and 7, listen to what the Apostle Peter says. How am I going to deal with my anxiety? How am I going to deal with worry? How am I going to deal with all this pressure that's causing me to not be able to sleep and causing me to be worried and I'm losing my joy and what am I going to do? How are we going to deal with that? 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, therefore humble yourselves. First thing you're going to have to do is realize that God didn't create you to deal with all that on your own, so humble yourself and quit trying to be God. Amen? It takes real humility to say, God, I can't handle this. See, sometimes we got to deal with our own pride that we aren't even aware of that we have because we're trying to, I'm tough, I'm strong, I can handle this. Oh my God, I'm about to die. You know. It's not bothering me. Okay. No, the first thing you're going to have to do is take yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you said. You said, humble yourselves, demote and lower yourself in your own estimation. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know what you're going to have to do? You have to say, Lord, I recognize I can't handle this on my own. I don't have the strength in myself, but thank God I don't have to handle it myself, Lord. I'm going to humble myself before you under the mighty hand of God that you in due time may exalt me. In other words, God, I'm going to put this in your hands. Amen. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to have anxiety about it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to try to make it happen in my own strength. And then look what he says. Here's how you do it. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how you deal with it. You just take all of that worry and all that fear and all that anxiety and all that, how am I going to make it? And you know what you do? You put it in a basket and you give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And you just cast it over on the Lord. You know what cast means? It means throw it over on the Lord. That means every time the devil throws it at you, you just take it and throw it back. Hallelujah. Amen. You almost get you a relay chain. The devil gives you care, you get it to Jesus. The devil gives you worry, you give it to Jesus. The devil gives you fear, you just give it to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not a stopping point. I'm just a transference point. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It ain't going to stay with me. Don't have my name on it. I'm not going to accept it. Praise God. And so he says, cast that over on the Lord. In other words, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put the outcome in God's hands. Amen. See, to humble yourself and cast your care on the Lord means, God, without you, I can't do this. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to sit around fretting about it. I'm not going to sit around just, you know, being concerned about it. I'm going to put that over on you, Lord, because in due time, you said, if I would put this in your hands, in your timing, you will bring me out of this. Amen. And you know what's the great thing about this? You know, if you'll learn these principles, the voyage to the answer of your prayer can be just as enjoyable as the answered prayer itself. Somebody says, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about this. I used to, when I was younger, if we were going somewhere, we would load up the car and put the kids in the back seat and take off, and we only stopped when I needed gas because I'm going to break every land record getting to where I'm going. And Josh and Anna would be sitting back there going, Mommy, please tell Daddy to pull over. We got to eat. We got to go to the rest area. Come on. And, you know, there's a museum coming up on the next exit. Yeah, we don't want to see that. Hallelujah. Come on. There's a historical place coming up. Nah, you don't need it. I can tell you about it. Praise God. And you know what? We never started a vacation till we got to our destination. And you know what we did? If it was a 10-hour drive, we didn't have any fun the first 10 hours of our vacation. The journey wasn't fun. The journey was always looked upon like, oh, God, do we have to do this? And you know, I'm concerned that sometimes when we're confronted with worry and fear and a real bad situation, maybe it's a, you know, the reason you probably have anxiety or fear is because it's a bad situation. The enemy's trying to destroy you. The enemy's trying to come against you. And a lot of times what we're doing is while we're praying, we're not having any fun at all while we're praying. So the journey from the attack to the victory is wasted because we're still all the time worrying and trying to do it ourselves. But you know what the Lord's saying? He's saying from the moment you're attacked, refuse to let it discern who you are or determine who you are. From the moment you find yourself in a need, make the decision, I'm putting this in God's hands. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have joy through the battle, and I'm going to rejoice in the victory. Amen? And I'm going to trust God to get me through this. So he's saying, you do this. Now, how do I know if I'm in worry or if I'm in faith? Well, in Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, take no worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? In other words, if I'm worrying and full of anxiety, I'm talking about it. Are you listening to me? I'm talking the problem. I'm trusting God, but I'm telling you what, these symptoms are getting worse. You know, I know God is a healer, but you know what? I just don't know if I'm going to get healed or not. I'm telling you what. In fact, I'm really concerned. Last night, I didn't know if I was going to make it through the night or not. I'm just telling you what right now. I know my God's going to supply my need, and I've already prayed, but I'm going to tell you what right now. If we don't get some money, we ain't going to make it. But he says, take no worry, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do? In other words, quit. If you're full of worry and anxiety, you're talking the worry and the anxiety. But Hebrews 4:14 says that we are to hold fast our confession of faith. You know what's happening if you're in faith? You're talking your faith. You're talking the word. You're speaking out what you believe in God. And so he says this, cast that worry over on the Lord and quit talking about it and put your faith in God and start talking about what you believe in God to do for you. Amen. Start speaking the word. Start talking the word. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've got these symptoms. That's okay. Don't talk about them. Speak the word. Say, Lord, I thank you that you're turning these symptoms into victory. Hallelujah. But I still got the bills to pay. But my God supplying all my need according to his riches in glory. And I thank you, Father, you're going to meet these needs. Hallelujah. But you know, I'm still struggling in this area. But I've got peace that passes all understanding. And I've cast the care on the Lord. And God, I thank you for working this out. Amen. And you see, if God tells us to do this, he would be an unjust God if we couldn't. See what that means? That means I can do this. But you know what? I have to be the one who initiated. In other words, I have to make up my mind right now, Lord, before I do anything else, I'm going to put this on you. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to miss any sleep about it. And when worry comes, I'm going to cast those thoughts down. I'm going to bring my thoughts into captivity to Christ. I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to trust you and God, you're going to get me through this thing. Amen? Then number two, what's he say? He says down here, he tells us then that what in Philippians chapter 4, he says, and in everything by prayer and petition with definite requests, make needs known to God. What's the second thing? Once you've dealt with your fears, once you've dealt with worry, once you've made up your mind you're going to trust God, now ask God to move. Present your request to God. Go to God and ask him to help you. Are you listening to me? See, this is the thing. If you're needing God to give you a breakthrough in some area, don't go running to God and pleading with God. Oh, God. No, no. First thing you got to do is say, Lord, the first thing I want to do is this. I'm going to give this care and worry to you. And Lord, I'm going to humble myself and recognize I can't make this happen in myself anyway. So without your help, it won't get done. So Lord, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm giving this problem to you. Amen. Be kind of like the story, Brother Hagin tells the story back in World War II whenever the German Army's Air Force was bombing Great Britain. You know, they had a lot of, in London there was always bombs each night and all this stuff going on. And they had air raid shelters and they'd all have to go in those shelters and, you know, and stay there until the bombing was over. And they went 2 or 3 days, this little lady just didn't show up. And so they thought, oh my goodness, I hope she didn't get killed in one of the air raids. And what? Oh my goodness. And then about 3 days later, they saw her out on the street. One of them said, oh, thank God you're safe. You're alive. You're good. And she goes, what's wrong with you? She said, well, we hadn't seen you for 3 days. We was concerned you got hurt or got killed or something. And she goes, well, no. She said, well, where have you been? She goes, oh, I was in my loft. I was in my apartment. Well, what are you doing up there? She said, well, I got to reading over in Psalms that God neither slumbers nor sleeps, so there wasn't any use both of us staying up. So I just thought I'd put it all over on him. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we kind of laugh about it, but you know, that's what Paul's saying here to the Philippian church. He's saying, you know, God neither slumbers nor sleeps, so why are you losing sleep all night? Why are you staying up fretting and worrying about it? Put that over on the Lord and trust him. And then once you've got to the place where you can trust him, now ask him to move in that situation. And believe him to take care of it for you. In 1 John 5:14, the Bible says over here that whatever you shall, well, let's just read it. Praise God. We got time. Is this all right? See, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, look what he says. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. How many of you have confidence in God? Because, see, if you don't have confidence in God, ain't no use asking him to do it for you. Amen? See, I'm not going to come up to somebody that I don't have any confidence in and ask him to go do something for me. Amen? I'm going to find somebody that I believe will do it for me. Then I'll ask them to help me. Amen? Are you hearing me? I didn't call your name out to point at you. Praise God. So I'm not. And so you see, if we don't have confidence in God, then why would we ever ask him to do something? I have to believe he's going to do something for him. Amen. I have confidence in God. And I pray with confidence. I don't come to God, hope so, maybe so. I come to God boldly with confidence. I believe he's going to help me in this. And I'm going to ask him to help me. Look what he says. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Somebody says, well, what if it's his will? I don't know if it's will or not. Well, the Bible says that God's word is his will. Amen? So you can say it like this, that if we ask anything according to his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. In other words, he's saying this, when you come to God, ask him according to his word to do for you what he said he would do. Amen? And then he says, have confidence that God's going to do it for you. Hallelujah. And you know what you have to do? You have to do what Mark 11:24 says. You have to believe that you receive, and then you shall have. See, in Hebrews 11:6, he says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? In other words, why go to God once you've dealt with putting the care, your worries, and you finally get yourself in a place of faith, and you say, okay, God, I'm asking you to do this, and then not believe he would? Amen. I would be insulted, and it would hurt me if my children or even my grandchildren, knowing that I could help them and had it right there to help them, didn't have confidence that if they came to me and asked for my help, I wouldn't give it to them. Well, Dad, I would come and ask you to help me, but I don't know if you will or not. I'll smack you upside the head. Amen. No, I mean, we insult our Heavenly Father. We don't mean to. It's unintentional. But a lot of times we bring insult to him instead of honor because we're not so sure that he will do what he said he would do. But God is the God of his word. So when I go to God and pray, guess what I need to do? I need to be confident. Hallelujah. And my faith is in God, not in what I see or feel. Are you listening to me? Why? Because I'm to walk by faith and not by sight. So therefore, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to believe that if I come to God in faith, I'm going to believe that he's going to do for me what he said he would do. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, amen. Thank you, Father. I will receive it done. And Father, whether I can see it happening around me instantly or not, I know that you're at work in my behalf because Jesus said, in this day I'm living, whatever I'd ask for in his name, you'd do it for me. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for taking care of me and meeting my need right now. But there's a third key. What's that third key? And this third key is so important, folks. Notice he said over in Philippians chapter 4 that we're to make these requests with thanksgiving. Amen. Make your request known to God with thanksgiving. You know the thing that's hindering us the most. A lot of times, most of we can deal with the worry. We'll go ahead and get through that. And then we get to the place where we go to God and we pray and we believe God's heard us. But then when we don't see instant results, we fall away from God and give up on it. But there's a third key, and that third key is this. You have to add praise to your prayer. Meaning what? You need to start praising and thanking God for your answer before the answer comes. Amen? You got to start thanking God you're healed while every symptom's still in your body. You got to thank God your needs are met while the bills are stacked up around you. You got to thank God your kids are saved even though they're out here on the streets acting crazy. You got to thank God that he's meeting your needs even though it doesn't look like anything's going on in your life. You got to thank God and praise God and believe he's working in your behalf because you're walking by faith and not by sight. And you're not going to let other people come in and steal your joy and tell you untruth. You're going to let God speak the truth in you and praise him and thank him all the way through this thing. And you're not going to go back and ask him again and again and again. Jesus said over in Matthew 6, he said the heathen and the religious folks think that if they'll talk to God and pray and beg enough, then maybe God will hear him. He says, don't be like that. He says, your Father knows what you have need of, so therefore ask him in faith and believe and he'll meet your need. Hallelujah. See, God is asking us to have confidence in him. And folks, as believers in the hour we're living in, you need to know how to pray and get answers and get victories. Amen? You need to know how to put your cares on the Lord. You need to trust God and have confidence in God. And then when you prayed, you need to put the final ingredient in there and begin to just thank him and praise him. You should be praising God so much that when the answer comes, the answer comes up and says, John, I'm the answer. Excuse me, I'm praising God for the answer. Hallelujah. And the answer has to tap you on the shoulder two or three times, say, I'm here. What's that mean? That you begin to praise and thank God so much that your manifestation comes while you're thanking and praising God. I won't take time to read it, but over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we could go there, but what a great story. You need to read that 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. It's about when the armies came up against Jehoshaphat. And if you'll read those first few verses, you'll find they came to Jehoshaphat and said, all these armies are coming against us, and they're going to try to destroy us. What are we going to do? And so Jehoshaphat, the Bible says Jehoshaphat feared. You know the first thing that happens whenever the enemy comes against you is fear, anxiety, worry. Are you hearing me? Anybody besides me have that? Huh? Something pops up in your body. You go, what's that? Amen. I looked at my hand today. I thought, that's a bruise. How did I get that bruise? Oh, my God. Maybe something else. I'm dying. Amen. The enemy will hit you with that. That's what happened to Judah. I mean, fear hit him. And so what Jehoshaphat does, he called everybody together and said, let's fast and pray. And he prayed and got the fear off. The first thing he said, God, you're God. And these people are trying to dispose us of our inheritance. What are you going to do about it? And he put that fear over on the Lord. And then he gathered everybody together and said, not only me praying, because it just isn't affecting me, it's affecting all of us. And I want to tell you what, if something's affecting you, you need to get into the prayer. Amen. Don't wait on somebody else to do your praying for you. Are you hearing me? Those armies were going to take everybody's possession, the men, the women, the children. And so Jehoshaphat called everybody that it was going to affect and said, let's all get together and pray. So if the enemy's attacking any area of your life, in your family, you know what you ought to do? You got to bring the whole group together and say, hey, we're going to cast the fear and the worry and the anxiety over on the Lord, and then we're going to seek God for an answer. And they began to pray. And the Bible says as they were praying, the Spirit of God came upon a young Levite priest and began to speak out. And he gave him the answer. You know what he said? He said, listen, the battle is not yours. Don't be afraid of this people. Don't worry. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, God's got it under control. And he goes on, he says this. He said, don't be dismayed. He says, because of this great multitude. He said, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. They took it out of their fight and put it in God's fight. How many of you know that when you quit fighting and you put God in charge and he starts fighting, we win? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember, I'll tell a story on my Pastor Josh while he's gone. Amen. Hallelujah. That's always the thing that PKs have to be concerned about. What they do shall be an illustration in their dad's sermon. Hallelujah. Preacher's kids, PKs. But anyway, he was in elementary school. And you know, he was, you know, I taught him, you know, he was doing stuff. But there was this one boy, and he was a bully. And he wanted to fight everybody. And so I picked Joshua up one day, and he said, Dad, this guy said he wanted to fight tomorrow. And said he's a year older and he's been held back and he shouldn't even be in middle school or grade school. He said, and he fights all these people. He says, what do I need to do? I said, well, number one, you're born again, spirit filled, outsmarting. And I said, and if you can't outsmart, let me show you some things where you can punch him and get by with it, praise God. So I showed him a little self-defense, but I said, make this the last thing. I said, but what you want to do is this, you need to ask God to show you what to do if this kid wants to fight you. And so I picked him up that next evening. He got in the car and he's all smiles. I said, how'd it go? Because I was concerned. I want to make sure that nobody's going to pick on my son. He says, oh, it worked out perfectly. I said, well, how'd it work out? He said, well, we got this other fella in the school and he's about twice as big as everybody. And he said, I was standing beside him and this other bully came up and shoved me and said, I'm going to fight you right now. He said, I thought, what am I going to do? And he said, I just thought, I turned around and pecked the guy, that big guy on the shoulder, and says, hey, he said he wants to fight you. He says, that big guy just beat him all over the playground. And he says, now everybody thinks that big guy's my best friend, and ain't gonna nobody mess with me now. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, that's exactly what God was trying to get across to Jehoshaphat over there. Why do you want to go out here and get yourself fighting like this? The big guy, turn the big guy loose on him. Hallelujah. Amen. And so God said, why are you trying to fight this in your strength? I'll fight it for you. I'll do what I told you I would do. I'll take care of you. Amen. And so you know what Jehoshaphat does? He calls everybody together and he gets his praisers. Amen. Brings all the praisers and puts them up front. And he said something there. And put this up, verse 20 there, right around that part. Praise God. It says, so they rose early in the morning. You read with me. Into the wilderness to go. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. You know what he's saying there? If you believe in God, you get saved. But if you believe his word, you'll be blessed. Oh, come on, I'm going to say it to you again. You can be saved and still not prosper. Believe in God and you'll be established. God will establish you in his kingdom and you'll get saved. But if you believe his prophets, if you believe the word that he speaks to you, you'll prosper in every area. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So there's a key to this battle. I'm established in God, but I believe that God will do for me what he said he would do. And because I believe his word, I'm going to prosper in this thing. Amen. And so the Bible says that he brought all these singers together and he said, listen, when you go out, tell you what I want you to do. I want you to begin lift your voices in praise and you begin to sing and minister to the Lord. And as you go out, say his mercy, praise the Lord or whatever, his mercy endures forever. And the Bible says this. In the next verse, he goes on down. He says this. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. They weren't defeated when he cast his care on the Lord. They weren't defeated when they prayed. They weren't defeated when they got a word from God. They were defeated when they began to praise God and thank him for the answer. Do you know that most of the time the manifestation of your prayer is going to come to you while you're praising and thanking God? Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 prayed in the jail, but the jail didn't get shaken until they sang praises and hymns unto God. Amen? You know what the missing ingredient to most of us in walking in victory today is? We haven't taken time to just begin to thank and praise God and worship God. Somebody says, how long do I praise him? Until the enemy is defeated. Hallelujah. You just praise him till your healing manifests. You praise him until the victory comes. You praise him till the thing has been changed. You praise him because your praise is you declaring to the world that I've put the care on the Lord. I've got my faith in God and my God's going to come through for me. Amen. And Psalm 22:3 says, God is enthroned in the praises of his people. Then say on, New King James says, God is enthroned in the praises of Israel. You know what that means? God's in your praise. Woo, come on, did you hear me? God is in the midst of your praise. Somebody says, where's God? Start singing hallelujah. And he'll come right in there. Hallelujah. Start saying, thank you, Jesus. And he'll come right in there. Start saying, praise God for the victory. And he'll come right in there. Because God is enthroned and rules and reigns in your praises. Come on, in your praise. Not everybody else's. It's got to be in your praise. God comes in your praise, in your situation, in your mess, and changes and defeats your enemy. And God says, step back and let me do some fighting for you. Step back and watch how I take care of this enemy. Step back and watch me meet this need. Step back and watch me do a miracle. God wants to show himself mighty and strong in your behalf. And all he's waiting on you to do is just start singing and praising and thanking him and go out into the battle with praise. And let God be the one who is doing the fighting for you. Amen.